Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Sorry, guys, you are on your own.
This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
Welcome to the Federal Football Report. I'm Claude Jennings in studio with Kevin Stanfield. Glad you're able to make us a part of your evening. Now, look, it's a brand new show. We're talking burgundy and gold the day after the games. Usually it will be a Monday night at 7 p.m. on Federal News Radio and federalnewsradio.com, unless there's a Monday night game, in which case we'll be on Tuesday night, of course. And if there's a Thursday night game, then we'll be on that Friday. We're talking Redskins football. We're going to have some fun this year, so we're really looking forward to it. First, I think I speak for Kevin when I say thank you to all of our bosses at Federal News Radio.
Absolutely,
Lisa Wolf, Julia Ziegler, for allowing us the opportunity to do this. And so let's just jump right into it, Kevin. So the Redskins dropped the season opener on the road to the Houston Texans 17-6. And look, all offseason, all through the preseason, the big question really surrounding the team was the offense. Can they move the ball? Can they score? Particularly, what's going on with RG3? And as far as I saw, the offense didn't give me any reason to believe that they could be any good or that they fixed whatever the problem was, Kevin.
First of all of you all out there on the ledges ready to jump, be cool. This is only game one. We'll still
There's only two reactions after week one. One, the extreme negative if you lose, and then the extreme optimism, you know, if you win.
But look at it realistically, though. This, to me, was the last preseason game. I mean, you don't know what you got until you actually play the game. You got a rookie head coach, right? Matter of fact, you had a rookie head coach against a rookie head coach, so the game was sloppy initially, too. You could tell. You can tell that these guys were out of shape and they just didn't have the timing on both sides, especially on the burgundy and gold, because they were just lacking that punch, that oomph. You know,
but
they
see,
were just...
I think that's fine if the season didn't end the way the season ended last year. If there weren't those questions regarding RG3, even picking up Shanahan's playbook, and if they didn't have those questions as far as the offense all preseason long. I mean, the first team offense did not score a touchdown at all in the preseason, and then when they score a touchdown in the regular season, they get the extra point block. Because here's the first three drives. No first downs. They were all three and outs. Then the fourth drive was longer, 10 plays, but it still ended in a punt. And so when you do move the ball, the bright spot, I guess, special teams, they had that 25-yard punt return by Andre Roberts to get the ball to the Texans' 46-yard line. So then they started to run the ball. When I saw this, I started to go off because this is what I want to see the Redskins do. They ran the ball. Alfred Morris had a 16-yard run to get to the Texans' 30. Roy Helu had an 8-yard run to get to the Texans' 22-yard line. Then Alfred Morris, again, a 20-yard gain to the 1-yard line. Then Darrell Young had the touchdown score. So then they kick the ball to the Texans. The Texans score a touchdown. What's the very next thing that they do on that next drive? After seeing four rushes, you get a touchdown. The next thing they do on offense, they run a reverse.
That's a perfect example of it being a rookie head coach. You know, he looks at the Patriots. He looks at what's happening with Philadelphia and Seattle, right?
And
he wants to make his name known too. But I forget who was calling the game, but he made a comment. Why don't you just give Alfred Morris the ball every single time?
Exactly the
point. Every single time. It's positive offense every time you give him the ball. But that's not sexy in today's NFL. But see, what these guys have to learn is sexy doesn't equate to win. Winning is very sexy in my book. But like I said, we're not going to jump off the ledge yet because it's just the last preseason game. Most of these guys haven't even played together for a whole quarter.
No, you got a good point there. But when you look at the stats, I mean, you've got a guy like Alfred Morris, and he gets 14 carries. And we're not talking about a game where the Redskins were being blown out and you have to put the ball in the air. Several points where the Redskins had a chance to take over and win the game. Two chances in particular that comes to mind is the two drives where they turned the ball over inside the 10-yard line. And so, you know, when you put that in the equation, along with one of the ways the Texans scored was a blocked punt, the team didn't play that bad, but they also didn't do enough to win a game that for the most part was 14-6 for most of the game in the second half.
Well, you know, the things that happen, mistakes, they're correctable. Those things are correctable. It wasn't like they got blown out. It wasn't like they were overmatched. And look, let's call it like it is. Romeo Crennel is a championship caliber defensive coordinator. He wasn't bad as a head coach. He wasn't great. But he knew exactly what to do. He was not going to let DeSean Jackson beat him deep. He was not going to let Pierre Garçon beat him deep. RG3 took what the defense gave him. They just gave him the underneath stuff, hoping that they were going to be able to break something. But when you do that, when you have your defensive back so far back, that opens up the running game. Also, what he did, he brought the heat. He brought the heat constantly. He sent blitzes from the safeties, from the corners, from the linebackers.
RG3 took a lot of hits, and he was hurried a lot.
So, ladies and gentlemen, all of you out there talking this nonsense about making RG3 a pocket quarterback, if you leave him in the pocket, he will die in the pocket because they'll know where he is.
Let him run. They can get him when he's standing still.
Please don't interview say bring Kirk Cousins in. Because he's a sitting duck right there.
Now, so you're talking about RG3, 29 of 37. I think 37 times passing is way too much in a game that's that close. And I think you alluded to it. When you've got Roy Helu and you've got Alfred Morris, 18 rushing attempts between the two of them, that's just not enough running the ball.
Well, hopefully Jay Gruden, being a rookie head coach, this being his first time actually flying the plane, he will learn that. He'll see that. He'll say that maybe we can control the ball. And you got to look at who they were playing. Ryan Fitzpatrick is not Tom Brady. And say maybe they weren't concerned with keeping the ball out of his hands, which they should have been later in the game. But you're going to have to control the ball. It's not just about designing a cute play that works, that looks pretty. It's about eating up the clock like the Texans did that last drive. Let me jump subjects for a minute.
Sure.
Because I want to talk about something that's been eating me up ever since Shanahan left. Our defensive coordinator. You know, Jim Haslett.
Yeah. What's your take on the defense yesterday?
Let's look back historically. Let's look at this. The reason that he was still here is because it was presented to us that the previous regime had him shackled, had him bound, had him chained, would not let him do what he wanted to do with the defense. So I thought this was going to be the premiere. You know that movie that came out last year, Django Unchained? I thought this was going to be Haslett. Haslett Unchained, yeah.
Defense Unchained, right.
Except for Jamie Foxx, you were going to have Jim Haslett. But when it comes down to it, nothing has changed, because when it got to a point in the game, they were still in that game in the fourth quarter, playing lousily, having all those mistakes. They were still in that game. But when it came to a point where they needed a stop, they just needed to get the Texans offense off the field so they give themselves a chance to win, they couldn't stop them.
And one was that key third down where, you know, Fitzpatrick, who's not one of the most mobile quarterbacks in the league, scrambled for that 6-yard first down. Yeah. And you hear this all the time. There's always going to be a point in the game where two things have to happen. Number one, your defense is going to have to make a stop. And number two, your quarterback is going to have to make a play for you to win. And neither happened for the Redskins yesterday.
Yeah, I'm really concerned about this defensive philosophy because I don't see any changes in it. I mean, you can't. It's good if you're brilliant enough to use the personnel that you have to create something different. Because Seattle, before they became the juggernaut they are, they were just an average defense. Remember, if you recall, there was a Monday night game where Russell Wilson threw a Hail Mary pass that should have been called an incomplete pass, but it was called a touchdown. I think those were replacement officials, and that changed
the whole complexion of the season for them.
Yeah, the whole team, the whole concept. They thought that they could become winners then. So much of it is mental. You got to believe in what you're doing. And I'm not seeing them believing in what Haslett is putting out there.
Yeah, well, and then you talked about personnel. If we can jump to the offense real quick. So you bring in, you know, DeSean Jackson, and all offseason we're just anticipating this vertical, down the field offense. And I understand that you have to give what the defense take you, but don't you got to stretch it a little bit just to kind of make the defense, you know, get off your back a little bit?
You
we didn't
do.
See any of that yesterday. But, where's the deep ball, you know?
You do, but every time I think they were thinking that, I think that Romeo Cannell was a step ahead of him, and he was bringing the noise. Swearinger was in the backfield more than Helu. It was and J.J. Watt, I was a little bit disappointed. I thought that since he signed that big contract, that all that money would weigh him down a little bit. He wouldn't be so
not
bad.
At all.
Hey, this brother's worth every dime.
It's been a long time.
Where can we get one of those?
I think it's been a long time, honestly, since I've seen one one player on the defensive line dominate that way. I mean, I was watching plays where he's just taking the man in front of him, and he's just pushing him back into the quarterback as if he's nothing.
Right, right. And I think for a while there, that Watt was feeling sorry for RG3. He said, man, hey, I hate to have to do this to you, but, you know, I just signed this contract. I got to show these people that I earned this money. So it wasn't simply a matter of mistakes and incompetence on the Redskins. You got to give the Texans some credit. They got some talent, and they play with a spirit and an aggression and a sense of teamwork that just wasn't there. They had a personality. Personality. They weren't playing dirty, but they were very, very aggressive and flying to the ball. And I just haven't seen that personality develop with the Burgundy and Gold yet. Although that was just the last preseason game.
Seems to be your theme for today. You're listening to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio and federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings in studio with Kevin Stanfield. Coming up, we have emails, some questions that people want to ask us, and we'll try our best to sound like we know what we're talking about. We'll answer your questions based on what we think. Also, WTOP's Redskins reporter George Wallace is going to join us in a few, Kevin, but we're talking about the Redskins season opener, the loss to the Houston Texans 17-6. Kevin, what are some of the things that stood out to you initially when you watched the game?
The thing that struck me the most was RG3's efficiency. The fact that he wanted to take what the defense gave him. I think that that's good. I think that that's pretty much a result of all this badgering he's been taking about getting rid of the ball more quickly and not being a pocket quarterback. I hate hearing people say that, right? You know, Steve Young wasn't a pocket passer. I mean, you know.
Right.
Who wouldn't just love to sit in the pocket and throw the ball if you had that opportunity? But if you want him to be a pocket passer, you got to give the guy a pocket. And he didn't have it yesterday.
You kind of handicap him if you try to make him stay in the pocket when you know that the line is not going to be able to give him as much time as he needs to stand back. See, I'm a believer, and I've always been a believer in this, that if you're going to draft a quarterback like Robert Griffin, you know what his skill set is. His number one skill set is not his arm, it's his legs. And so you have to do things. You have to design the offense around that special skill set. There's no reason to have a guy whose most valuable weapon to him is his legs and then tell him not to use that. And if it only means that he's going to be the quarterback for 4 to 5 years, it's going to be the best 4 to 5 years you've had in the city. It's going to be the most electrifying 4 to 5 years of football we've seen in a long time. But to try to have him stay in the pocket and become this pocket passer that did not get him the fame, if you want to call that he has now, all you're going to get is just frustration. You're going to get a time where there's this learning curve where he has to learn the offense, where he has to sit there and learn how to become a pocket passer, has to get different fundamentals down, and that's not his thing. And so now we have to sit back, we have to be frustrated with an offense that can't seem to move the ball when you've got this guy who's basically like a Corvette. It's like having this sports car that can go 180 miles an hour and only wanting to drive it in a residential neighborhood that goes 25 miles
that's
an
true.
Hour and then getting mad at the sports car for underperforming.
That's true. Something else that stuck out to me yesterday. Jason Reed must not drink a lot of milk when he was a kid.
I was going to say, here's a guy with potential, but can't stay healthy to save his life.
There's one play, one pass. He's constantly hurt. Every single game he's in, he's hurt. What is it? Is it like low calcium in his bloodstream or poor genetics? What is it? He has the capability of being one of those JaMychal Finley, Rob.
Yeah, because he's big, he's athletic, he can catch, he's tough, but he cannot stay healthy, it seems. And it's interesting, speaking about being healthy, maybe we'll ask George Wallace about this. A couple of injuries on defense. Jason Hatcher had to sit out for a second, and a couple of other guys. And so I'm interested to see what the injury report is after week one to see who's actually going to be ready for Jacksonville. And by the way, coming up later in the show, we'll talk about the rest of the NFC East. The Cowboys took a bad loss to the 49ers to start week one. And Philadelphia came back from a 17-point deficit and reminded the Jacksonville Jaguars that they are the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are the Redskins' next opponent next week. And so we'll talk about that.
So basically, Burgundy and Gold is in second place right now.
Basically, they're right
they're right where we want to be. We're right in the middle of it, right? Just hang it in. Yeah.
That's funny. Also, you can email the show if you're listening and you want to shoot us an email. Kevin, that email is ffr@federalnewsradio at federalfootballreport.com.
No, that's not quite right. Let's try this again. It's ffr@federalnewsradio.com.
Federal News Radio. So we're talking about Burgundy and Gold, and we'll have more of that in a second. You're listening to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio and federalnewsradio.com.
Now back to the Federal Football Report with Claude and Kevin, two of the best in the business. By the way, I am getting paid for this, right?
Welcome back to the Federal Football Report. We're joined by Burgundy and Gold beat reporter for WTOP Radio, George Wallace. George, I got to ask you this, first of all, because you witnessed the Shanahan regime, right? And now
I thought we weren't going to talk about that anymore.
and now you're in charge over there at Grudenville. Yeah. Tell me the differences, the difference between covering Shanahan's city and Gruden City.
Night and day.
Really?
I mean, it's just from dealing with him, just to see the way he interacts with the players and the training camp. I mean, he was just he's so much more involved. And you hear players coach all the time. He's a players coach. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what does that mean? Well, he's a lot younger, first of all. So you can tell that these guys interact with him better. He's on the field. He's running drills. He's swatting at receivers. He's swatting at running backs. He's out of breath. He's throwing the football. I mean, that's the kind of thing that the players like to see. Mm-hmm. And it's a far different cry from Shanahan, who would stand on a far field with his hands crossed, and who knows what, you know. But Gruden he's a lot better to deal with. He's a lot more open. Now, that could all change. I mean, they've lost one game, but who knows? They lose 4 or 5 in a row, then he may just shut down completely. Who knows? But the initial reports are that it's a lot different. And for us in the media, it's a lot easier to deal with. I like him.
Right. Well, now from the offseason and training camp and preseason to game one, watching Gruden in his debut, how would you grade him? Forget the loss, but just right. Coaching on his debut.
Well, you know, I thought that they had a decent game plan as far as mm-hmm. as getting the ball out of Robert's hands, starting mm-hmm. run the football. I mean, that's the kind of things you wanted to see. I mean, you're not going to make Griffin a pocket passer overnight. I mean, right? It's been talked about to death. It's not going to happen overnight. So I thought he put him in good positions yesterday to do some things and win the football game. Just the offense, you know, the defense had to play well. I thought the defense played well enough to probably win that game, right?
Absolutely.
So the offense wasn't going to go out and score 40 points because we haven't seen that at all. And then, you know, they were hiding some things. Okay, it was all vanilla in the preseason. But you know it's going to take time. But I thought the game plan was fine yesterday to run the football, get the ball out of his hands, move Robert around a little bit. You know, but
it seemed like halfway through, particularly in the third quarter, that they kind of abandoned the run. Yeah. Alfred Morris had 14 carries. Helu had 4. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, when you've got those guys running as well as they did, I mean, 91 yards on 14 carries. And in a close game, why do you think they abandoned the run so quickly?
That's a great question. I'd love to hear what Gruden's going to say about that. Because it could be, and like you're saying, it was still close. I mean, they're only down a score. You know, you're only down 8 points at that point. So you're still only one touchdown and 2-point conversion down. So, you know, it is interesting. But I think maybe they just tried to open it up a little more. And they came out, looked a little more confident, a little more effective in that second half. And figured that the run set up the pass a little bit and they could always go back to it. But it's, you know, I saw some decent things. Look, you can't fumble the ball twice inside that, Houston's 10.
Inside the 10,
right?
And expect
you can't
to win
it.
A game.
I mean, now his Paul's running free with the ball. And he fumbles the ball. You can't do that.
Yeah. Now, one thing that I noticed was that Romeo Crennel, great defensive coordinator.
Yes, he is.
Great. I mean, this guy is no slouch. And he picked up on some things that were occurring last year, which is pressure on this offensive line.
That's no secret, huh? The offensive line. That's still nobody's buying that. The offensive line is any better.
So what's the game plan there? Do you think is there talent there? Is it just a matter of these guys getting reps, or what is it? Is there hope in the horizon for this?
Is there hope? Well, I don't know. I mean, it's been a a big problem for years, right? This offensive line. They move. So, you know, they lose Will Montgomery. So Lichtensteiger goes to center, but you still have Tyler Palumbus on the right mm-hmm. side, who's not very effective.
Right.
They bring in Sean Laval. So you add one guy, but you're still, most of that core is still there, and you have all pro Trent Williams. But as a unit, Griffin was on his back too much yesterday, and it's just only, I'm just afraid that's only going
to
get worse.
Yeah, well, moving Lichtensteiger to center did help because a lot of the pressure last year was coming right up the middle.
You're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
But the edge, I was saying J.J. Watt, I'm so happy we don't have to see him again until the Super Bowl.
My goodness. I mean, can you imagine him to play that guy until the Super Bowl? Sorry, I had to catch that. Kevin, he tried to sneak that by. Can you imagine if we had to see him twice a year?
Gosh, but you know, you bring up a good point when you talk about the offensive line. And then seemingly, abandoning the run. We try to label the issues that we see to just like one thing. And so a lot of it falls on the back of RG3 mm-hmm. or it's going to fall on the coach or just the offensive line. But the problems are kind of layered. I mean, yeah. You know, and I think what's a realistic view? I mean, are the Redskins more of what we saw against the Texans? Or was that just week one jitters? They got to get, you know, kind of shake the cobwebs off and get going. What are they closer to? A much better team? Or are they closer to what we saw Sunday?
Yeah, that's a great question because I do think, and I know everybody probably around here thinks today that we're watching last year's team, right? I mean, from what mm-hmm. we saw yesterday. But, and now maybe that's just the optimist in me, but I do think they're going to be better. Mm-hmm. I do. I think that some of those things yesterday, they killed themselves. And I think those are correctable things. I think that the defense is going to be better this year. I think you saw some of that yesterday. They were getting off the field 3-and-out. The offense didn't do their job mm-hmm. sometimes, you know. But I think that you're going to see this team get better. I really do. I don't think it's a completely different attitude from last year. Just being around the guys, the coaches, that's all gone. And I think that there is optimism. And I think that it's just going to take time for this offense to get going. But I just, you know, I hope you don't see too many like we saw yesterday. You can't do it. It can't get much worse than 3-13, please.
Okay, we're here with Burgundy and Go Beat reporter for WTOP, George Wallace. I know you got to go. One quick question. The unshackled Jim Haslett.
Yeah.
What did you think of the free at last Jim Haslett? What did you think of him yesterday?
I thought he did all right. I mean, you know, again, the Bakari Rambo, you know, he takes a bad angle on the 76-yard touchdown, and was he in the right spot? Probably.
Just, what about that 13-minute drive at the end of the game?
That's a problem. But, you know, I think that I did like some of the things we saw from Haslett yesterday. You saw some blitzing yesterday. You saw Ryan Clark blitz a little bit. You saw some pressure up the middle. I think that, you know, you're going to see Haslett mix things up. He is going to have more freedom to do that, and guys have talked about that as well. But, you know, Jason Hatcher got hurt a little bit yesterday. Cofield goes down. So that's going to be a problem if you keep losing guys in that front. And that front, the push up there, the front 3-4.
Yeah, that's the one thing I think to be concerned about. I mean, when you look at the game yesterday, so the Texans score 17, and they score 17, but 7 of those points came off the block punt.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really only 10 points they gave up. And in a league where, you know, the calls are all pass happy, uh-huh. you know, they want, there's all the calls goes against the defense. I mean, it's hard to defend anybody. Giving up 10 points is not bad.
Right.
If the offense doesn't give up at least one of those fumbles inside the
Correct.
10, you're probably looking at a win.
You're probably winning that game. You're absolutely right. And the one, the 76-yard touchdown pass, that's one bad play. They didn't really give up much deep at all yesterday, right? I mean, they didn't give up much deep. I mean,
oh, that's true. That's true. Mm-hmm. I'm not, you know, like I said, to me, this was the last preseason game.
Yeah,
this was,
but you're right, though, about the drive. It's they played well enough to win. They get off the field 3-and-outs, but then a time where the defense needs to get off the field, they didn't at the end of the game.
Right,
they give
up
that drive. So that is a little concerning, but, you know, I think that they're going to be better as well. I do. And who knows? The problem is going to be, is Brandon Merriweather is going to come back, but every time he goes to hit somebody, you're going to worry about him having to miss two more games because of a suspension.
You talk about two more games. What about the next game, Jacksonville, real quick before you go?
They
what
have
do you
to
think?
Win Jacksonville. It's a W. It's done. Jacksonville scored 17 on Philly yesterday to go up 17-0 and then give up 34 unanswered. So, you know, but you have to, you have to score touchdowns. You have to go down the field. You have to establish. You have to score touchdowns. You can't be playing from behind, right? You have to set the tone early. You're going to be at home, come out, run the football, move the pocket around a little bit, some short, get some screen, and score touchdowns.
Hey,
just do it.
15-1 it'll work for me.
That, just do it. 15-1 will work for you.
Burgundy and Gold reporter George Wallace. We got a professional in the building.
That's
now,
right. That's right.
Thank you,
somebody,
George, for joining us on the Federal Football Report.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Kevin, that was a lot of fun. So coming up in the last segment of the show, we're going to have emails. We've got tons of emails. And you know we've got the inevitable question in the emails. Should RG3 be benched? We're going to talk about that. We're also going to take a look at the NFC East.
Hey, did the Cowboys play yesterday?
almost made me choke there. Yes, they did.
Okay.
And we'll talk about the Cowboys. We'll talk about the Eagles, the Giants. And also we'll give you our scouting report on the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's coming up next. You're listening to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio and federalnewsradio.com.
Now back to the Federal Football Report with Kevin and Claude. Wow, two guys talking about football. So what else is new?
Welcome back to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio and federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings in studio with Kevin Stanfield. So glad you're able to hang out with us. We're talking Burgundy and Gold. It's the debut show. We're having lots of fun. Glad to be with you all season long. Glad to have George Wallace with us. Kevin, providing some insight, Burgundy and Gold beat reporter for WTOP. And Kevin, you had some stuff that George has spoke about with the defense that you wanted to comment on.
Yeah, I'm not as thrilled with the defense as George may have been. And granted, they only allowed...
They basically allowed 10 points.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
but they
not
allowed
bad.
10 points against Ryan Fitzpatrick, who I think just joined the team a week and a half ago. I'm curious. I was talking earlier during the break about Arakpo and Kerrigan, and I think that was the first time I heard their names this weekend. they were pretty much ineffective.
Right. Well,
and these are your studs.
Yeah, well, Kerrigan did have that one big play where he stripped the ball out of Foster's hands when he was running with the ball, and I think that was inside of the 10-yard line.
Yeah, that was.
He did have that one play, but you're right. I mean, you know, Arakpo was basically non-existent.
Well, let me look, full disclosure here. I'm not a big fan of the 3-4 defense. I was talking to Dexter Manley one time. People who know a little bit about football know a little bit about him. He said that that putting Arakpo in a position where he's standing up removes his effectiveness because he said your explosiveness comes from your thighs, and in the 3-point stance, you got that lift, that certain boost where you can thrust yourself into the offensive lineman, and when you're standing up, you don't have that power, so it takes away some of his weapons. Mm-hmm. When Arakpo was a rookie, they had him as a defensive end in the 4-3. He's got 12 sacks. Another perfect example, his bookend at defensive end, Andre Carter, had 12 and a half sacks that year. When the new regime came in, decided they wanted to put these guys as stand-up linebackers, Andre Carter couldn't do it. He went to New England as a 4-3 defensive end, made the Pro Bowl, right? And like 13 sacks. Everybody just can't do everything. The scheme is nice. You know, I don't know Jim Haslett. You know, I'm sure he's a great guy and all. I'm just saying that with the personnel they have here, that
it
this
doesn't
maybe
seem like a 3-4 is going to work. Yeah,
no. Yeah.
And like you said, I mean, the Texans' offense isn't necessarily an offense that's going to, you know, strike fear in its opponents. And so while it's like, yeah, they held them to 10 points, it's also the Texans' offense, Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback. You know, I'm not as hard on the defense as you seem to be. Yeah. I think that they played fine. I mean, I think that if they weren't on the field as much as they were, especially in that first quarter and second quarter, and got a chance to kind of breathe a little bit, and the offense put together some long drives, that might have helped out a lot too. Because who knows what the Texans would have done had the Redskins been up in the second half, had they not turned the ball over inside the red zone, and now you've got Fitzpatrick playing from behind, then you can really kind of let the dogs loose and blitz and maybe force some turnovers and some interceptions there.
Oh, I got an email there that has a solution for this from R.A.
Okay, well, yeah,
Cash.
Let's do this. This is our first email segment of the show. Yeah, let's just jump
it's
into
relevant
it.
In terms of the fumbles. You said the equipment manager needs to give them some arm sleeves. I guess, like you know, I was wondering that, too, because you notice R.G.'s, his outfit, he had the left arm sleeve that had the left glove, like a long Michael Jackson type glove. And I just couldn't figure out what the deal was with that. But now I see, Ari Cash's email says the arm sleeves would help that ball, I guess, stick, you know, in that, you know, when you get that ball tucked in, they'll help the ball from squirting out. You know, that, hey, it's a thought.
It is a thought. You know, another thought, too, would be just to hold on to the ball. especially in the red zone.
But I heard Gruden say this yesterday. It kind of bugged me a little bit, but he's the coach. But it kind of bugged me. He said on that play that when the offensive lineman stepped on Robert coming, you know, out from under center, that Robert was supposed to just eat the ball. He wasn't supposed to try to do the handoff. What bothered me is this is a split-second thing. You know, the timing on this is so precise. He's thinking handoff the minute he gets the snap, so he doesn't really – he's not thinking, oh, I got to get the ball back, I got to eat it, because it's all in pretty
It all happens
motion.
Really quickly. It's not as if, you know, you feel his foot on you and you can't, like, just take the ball back. No, yeah. I get that. I mean, I think that's one of the things that you see, like you mentioned jokingly, this being the last preseason game.
Yeah, it was the last preseason
game.
That's
one of the things that you want to try to work out.
You can fix that.
I just feel as if the offense was clicking on all cylinders in, or at least a few of the cylinders, during the preseason. You know, that's when you kind of want to work that stuff out. You know, the stepping on the feet and handoff and, you know, fumbling, that kind of stuff. I just feel like that's when you want to, you know, work that stuff out. But, you know, you ask George, and again, he's optimistic. You know, can we expect more the same of what we saw? Because it's easy to say, the fumble, the blocked extra point, and then the blocked punt. You know, that's stuff that we can work out. You know, special teams won't be a big deal. Probably thought that last year too, and special teams ended up costing the Redskins a couple of games last year. And so you really hope that all gets ironed out. I'll tell you what, let's jump to some emails. You have another email. I know we just talked about the one with the sleeve and the fumbles. I have one that's coming from Clarence in Landover, and he has two questions. The first one is, do you think RG3 will ever get back to his performance from his first season, his rookie season? And number two, do you think that they should lean on Alfred Morris more?
Lean on him.
They should ride
they
him.
They should ride him,
every
right?
Day.
They
right.
should ride him. Someone on some sports show somewhere said something to Gruden, and he said that, you know, we're going to have to win some games 13-10 or, you know, 7-0 or something. And you know what? And people took offense to that.
Well, this is the opportunity to do that this weekend.
People took offense to that. But see, a win is a win is a win is a win is a win. It doesn't, you don't have to throw up the gaudy stats. He doesn't have to throw the ball 40 times. What he has to do is manage the game. What he has to do, it's great when he takes off in 75-yard. That's yard run. That's great. It's great when he's electrifying.
But to think that he has to do that every single play is ridiculous.
It's a team effort.
And everybody who's from this area or follow Redskins football know that it's ground and pound. That's historically been Redskins football. And when you have a back like Alfred Morris, who has shown over the period of a couple of years that he's no fluke, that he can run the ball and he can carry a load, why not give him the load? I think 14 carries is way too little for a back like Alfred Morris.
Way back when, long, long time ago, when the Burgundy Gold won their first Super Bowl, the most valuable player of the league that year was their field goal kicker, Mark Mosley. That's because he had to kick field goals because they didn't score a lot of touchdowns. They just ran the ball, they ate up the clock, they beat the other team. So, let's ride Morris, let's take advantage of him. We got other good running backs, so just, you know, this, I don't turn him to Larry Brown and run until his knees fall off, but he is underutilized.
Now, the second question that Clarence had, I mean, I don't know if it's as elementary, as simplistic in its answer. Do you think RG3 will get back to his performance from season 1? Because I'm not sure I think the results of his play in season 1 is what you want, but not necessarily the way he went about getting it. If we remember in season 1, the playbook seemed to be shortened, to one primary read, maybe a check down, and then run. You know, but they're trying to take him out of that quick escaping the pocket mentality to sitting in the pocket and trying to become a pocket passer. So while you may like those results, I'm not sure if the way he went about getting it is what the team is after, even though for my money, I want to see him run. That's what made RG3 RG3. Now, you have to be smart and slide and get out of bounds when you know you're not going to get that many yards. But I say, you know what? That horse didn't get to this show by doing what you're trying to make him do.
Well, I think that Kyle Shanahan's work when RG3 was a rookie was underappreciated because
Absolutely. He
designed and developed things specifically
around
for his quarterback.
Around his skill set.
Yeah,
yes.
And didn't ask him to do more than that. Now, what happened where he was maybe overrated, Kyle, was when the league started to adjust to what Kyle did, Kyle didn't have any plan B. He didn't have any offshoots to that. And coupled with the fact that, Robert was burdened with that big brace on his leg last year.
You know, you bring up another good point, because even yesterday, and by yesterday, if you're listening to this further down in the week, I'm talking about Sunday, even on Sunday against the Texans, he didn't seem to have that quick pop. A few passing plays that broke down, he kind of got caught by a few defenders and couldn't seem to get away as quickly as I remember from the first season.
But to me,
and I'm not sure if that's because he's looking down the field trying to get the ball out of his hands or whether he's tucking and running, but it didn't seem as if he had that explosiveness.
He's got too many people in his head. He's got like whoever's talking to him about trying to develop into being a quote pocket passer, whoever's talking that's trying to please the coach, he's trying to show that he's not a prima donna, he's a cooperative teammate and all that. At some point, the coach is just going to have to give him the green light. Say, Robert, you're the one out there. It's your call. If you want to run, run. If you want to fly, fly.
Right.
But it's your team. I'm not going to judge you on that. And let's keep in mind, too, this is a rookie head coach. This is his first time responsible for all that. Well, maybe I'm hoping that maybe with Robert being 26 for 31, doing pretty much what the defense gave him, and, except the biggest mistake he made to me yesterday was that the long ball to, whatever day that was, since this is that long pass to Andre Roberts, which, by the way, was a great addition. This guy's a ball player, right?
Yes, he is.
He could have hit him earlier. He could have hit him earlier, and there wouldn't have been any doubt. It wouldn't have been that close. Extremely close call. But he threw that ball on the run. He threw the ball 50 yards on the run. The ball to Niles Paul, the one that Niles Paul ended up fumbling. Yeah. That was a great read.
That was great
because he had pressure, coming again, right? And so I don't think that he's going to be an issue this year.
He knows what's going on.
His third year in the league.
Right.
I think he did pretty good, 26 for 31. I think that they're going to have to give him some help. They're going to have to focus on that. They're going to have to bring an extra tight end sometime and not be so cutesy with the packages and just say, hey, it's us against you guys.
Yeah.
We're going to protect our quarterback. And
I think they showed flashes. I think we'd have a much different discussion had those two turnovers in the red zone did not happen. But we've also got I want to see something different as far as Deshaun Jackson is concerned. You got to use that guy a little bit more, I believe, than they did Sunday.
That's going to be interesting because Deshaun, there was rumors about his illicit activities when he was with Philly. My thing with Deshaun, he reminds me a lot, if you remember, Gary Clark.
Mm-hmm.
They're fiery players, especially if they don't get the ball.
Right.
Now, let's see what happens. He caught 10 passes yesterday, right? Let's see what happens if the defense tries to take that away from him. He's not getting those passes. Let's see. Like I said, for the last preseason game, I was satisfied. At this point, they lost for the last preseason game. Let's see how this develops. Let's see how Gruden develops as a coach. And let's see how this team develops as a team.
Right. Well, one thing's for sure. You say that's the last preseason game. We've got to see something different against Jacksonville next week. Before we look at the rest of the NFC East, let's talk a little bit about Jacksonville. And that's actually a really good transition into the rest of the NFC East, because Jacksonville played the Eagles Sunday. Spotted the Eagles 17 points, and then the Eagles went ahead and scored 34 straight to get the 34-17 win. What do you think the Redskins have to do next week at home against Jacksonville?
They got to run the ball. They got to control the ball. They got to establish dominance. Jacksonville lost that game because they did not believe that they can win. Philly, that game, Jacksonville was leading in the fourth quarter of that game.
So, we got to find a way to lose this game.
And then what happens, once they tied the game, that doubt started creeping in, and then Nick Foles was able to hit Jeremy Maclin with a long pass, and then they just let all the air out of the balloon. But, I mean, Jacksonville's not going to be a slouch. Jacksonville had a rookie receiver that caught two touchdown passes. Allen Hurns caught two touchdown passes as a rookie in the NFL. So, let's not just think that they're going to come over here and roll over because they play their theme song.
You're right. I think like you said, they've got to run the ball. They have to eliminate turnovers altogether, not just red zone turnovers. I mean, all turnovers are detrimental to, to your efforts on offense. Eliminate turnovers, run the ball, and I think they've got to get pressure on the quarterback. I think that they've got to pressure Chad Henne, and they've got to make things a little easier, I believe, on defensive backs. When you can't stop the pass, not that the Redskins have shown that based on what we saw this past Sunday, but when you have problems stopping the pass, you can look at it two ways. Either the secondary can't cover, or the quarterback has too much time in the pocket to throw the ball. And I think that if you put some pressure on that quarterback, make things uncomfortable in Jacksonville. It's your first home game. It's the home opener. Get the crowd into it. And the best way to get the crowd into it is to rush that passer, get some turnovers, some quick, easy turnovers, and just take them out the game early.
Well, hopefully Jason Hatcher's ankle will be a little better. Now, I was pleasantly surprised at his performance because he didn't play a whole lot because of injury. As a matter of fact, he started the season on a physically unable to perform this. Mm-hmm. But it seems to be a pretty good pickup. There was pressure from the nose position that we hadn't seen since the 3-4 guy here. He got hurt again, and then you could tell he wasn't himself in the second half.
Right.
So, yeah, but I agree with you. Pressure will be well. They need a couple of big plays, or at least attempt some big plays.
Yeah, man, I would just look right out the bat, man. Play action fake, go deep to Deshaun. Like, just do deep. It just to
just
do
to
it.
Show,
we haven't, just to show him we, can,
show
him
we
do,
can do it.
And
yeah,
who,
yeah,
knows?
Yeah.
It could work. Don't doubt it. You know, yeah, play action fake, throw it deep to Deshaun. Let's go
the main
for
thing,
it.
They got to take Jacksonville seriously. They just can't treat Jacksonville like another AFC. This is not...
Well, yeah, because you got to be honest. I mean, look, when you look at the schedule, and we all do this, we look at the schedule for whoever your favorite team is, and you start marking wins and losses based on last year's team and what you think your team is going to be able to do against them. And I really believe, you know, you look at the schedule this year and you see Houston and you see Jacksonville, you're thinking, whoa, this team could be 2-0 heading into week 3. Well, not so fast because we lost week 1. Not so fast because it lost week 1. And so now, like you said, you got to take Jacksonville seriously. So before we close out, we also have some more NFC East to talk about. The Giants play the Lions tonight, so we don't know what's going to happen with that just yet. But the Cowboys, we talked about the Eagles in Jacksonville. So the Cowboys lose to the 49ers. 4 turnovers for Dallas, including 3 interceptions from Tony Romo. They lose to the 49ers 27-17.
Well, you know, a lot of people say Tony Romo doesn't really have a backbone because he makes mistakes late in the game. But literally, now he doesn't have a backbone because he had back surgery. Which, that's interesting to me that your quarterback had back surgery and they don't have anybody else. What's the second string quarterback getting paid for?
Exactly.
If he's not going to play below. That game, it wasn't as close as the score indicated. The Cowboys had chances. The 49ers, everybody knows what you get with the 49ers. They're going to bring maximum effort all the time. The Cowboys had chances. Romo just turned the ball over. It was miscommunication, whether it was great defense.
You know, there were tons of bad throws. I mean, you know, number one, you talked about his back surgery. The deep ball wasn't there for Romo at all. I mean, they were all short. The one he threw into double coverage to Dez Bryant, he totally just admitted after the game, I just threw it up there to see if he was going to go get it. Usually he's able to grab those, or you know, or at least knock them down. This time,
well,
it was just interception.
You know what? I don't even blame him for that. Well, I guess when you're
desperate trying to score, yeah, sure. But
that's what Dez Bryant is able to do for you, though. I mean, you wouldn't do that for Deshaun Jackson because he doesn't have the size. You would do it to Andre Johnson,
sure, just to see if he can go up and get it.
But you got a physical specimen like Dez Bryant. I'll give him a break. You know, I'll give him a break.
Yeah, I don't know. And then the turnover again in the red zone. A couple of the fumble from DeMarcus Murray. From Murray. It was just, it was the Cowboys that you're kind of used to seeing, you know, the 4 turnovers. And then what we'll see what happens with them next week. If they end up winning the game next week, the next thing you know, you've got, okay, 1-1. This team's pretty much going to be 8-8 again. They're going to lose one, win one, lose one. So it looks like the NFC East is pretty much right back where it was last year. Depending on what the Giants do tonight, look, the Eagles won, Skins lost. Cowboys lost, and who knows what the Giants are going to do tonight.
Let me tell you about a team. Well, NFL East as an example. Teams like Washington, New York, and Dallas are gearing up to try to win a game. Teams like San Francisco,
precisely,
teams like the Eagles, they're gearing up to try to beat Seattle.
And that's another point. When you look at the Cowboys game yesterday, they don't belong on the same field as the 49ers. These are two separate teams who are headed in two different directions with two separate goals this year. The 49ers are trying to get past Seattle to get to the Super Bowl. The Cowboys are trying to win 5 games.
That's
basically what the deal is with the show.
So bottom line, Burgundy and Gold fans, come in off the ledge. edge. It's just one game, preseason game. The real season starts at home Sunday against Jacksonville.
You've been listening to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio and federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. That's Kevin Stanfield. Just two guys in studio. Happy to have some radio time to talk burgundy and gold. We'll be doing it all season long the day after the Redskins game. Most games, it's going to be Monday at 7 p.m. For the Thursday games, will be on Friday night at 7 p.m. And for the Saturday game, I believe there's one, will be on, I guess, Sunday night at 7 p.m.
Check out federalnewsradio.com. We'll have the schedule of the showtimes.
Absolutely. And so thank you to all of our bosses here at Federal News Radio, Lisa Wolf, Julia Ziegler. Thank you so much. You've been listening to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio.